You are not alone in your struggle to shift from in-person training to online. Maybe you resisted shifting. Some of you jumped in, and some are reluctantly doing this until we get back to normal. My name is Patricia Regeer. I am a virtual facilitator and online event producer. For the past 2 decades, I have specialized in creating engaging learning experiences. And I understand what it means for speakers and training professionals to shift your expertise to the online context. What does it mean to you as an expert in your industry to be able to show up confidently online? In March 2019, the world shifted. Suddenly, we saw a mass pivot to working and learning online like we have never experienced before. There was panic. Sometimes there still is. I see the apprehension all the time, and it's my job to remove hesitation and barriers so my clients can present their best selves, delivering what they specialize in. Today, I'm here to help you with your online ability to feel connected with your participants again. I will provide ideas and pro tips that you can implement right away. We all know that technology is ever changing, and even though it may seem like the learning curve is never ending, we can all confidently show up online. So let's get to it. Imagine you are opening up your PowerPoint slides, you have music ready to get the group excited, your activities are prepped, and then you turn on your camera, mic, and open the online meeting room. We've all been there in that moment when it's go time. Getting set up for an in-person workshop was different. That context included distributing markers on the tables and flip chart paper on the wall. The process of adapting what you used to do to prepare and lead a workshop and shift that for the online space is like learning a new language. You need to understand the tech and how to run an activity in a virtual context. For example, understanding the online logistics of placing people into breakout rooms or teaching them how to annotate can feel overwhelming at first. Or maybe you work with a producer and need to spend time practicing the flow with them. But you have already done a fantastic job adapting to this new space. Now it's time to check which details can be improved. These quick pro tips will boost your confidence and help you turn an audience into participants. One way to build excitement and knowledge about an upcoming online workshop is to go live. Getting on camera can feel weird, but it's a great way to record something for people to watch later or join you in real time. Sometimes when you hit that go live button, there isn't anyone watching. One day I found out about a new option in Zoom and I was thrilled. I hit go live on Instagram and shared my excitement. This promoted that I was going to create a video tutorial about the new update soon and told people to stay tuned. Then I couldn't find the end live button when I finished. But this just added some humor and vulnerability. It's part of the magic when you are live and are demonstrating the shift to online. We don't need to be perfect. We just need to do something that we have never done before. This ongoing learning can inform how we engage our participants, and it helps us understand their perspective when trying something new. The promotion of your event, workshop, or training session can build participants' readiness for the learning. One person who watched that live video told me later that my excitement got her excited to try out the new feature. Jumping in to share your enthusiasm in the moment, whether you go live, press record, write a social media post or blog, can engage your participants before they decide to sign up for your workshop. And it motivates them to show up. One day when I was getting ready to produce for a client, my modem stopped and restarted out of nowhere. This made my heart drop as I thought, what would happen if this occurred during the workshop? I have power backup systems so that we're not interrupted, and if the internet provider had issues, I could switch over to my data. However, when the internet stops, it drops me as host. Has that ever happened to you? It's not fun. The meeting will continue with the co-host, but I didn't want to be embarrassed by the situation of a speaker not knowing how to let me back into the meeting. There was no time to call the internet provider because my facilitator was about to arrive. So I decided to log into the meeting from my cell phone as another backup device with the data turned on. I knew this could cost me some money, but I couldn't let the worst scenario occur. I kept the Wi-Fi on my phone and hoped that the data would only be used if the internet dropped. And then, just as the participants were starting to join the meeting, the modem stopped again. My computers got kicked out of the meeting. However, since I was logged onto my phone as a co-host with data turned on, I could still let people into the meeting and take care of my tasks. Thank goodness I knew how to host from my phone. No one else would be aware of my tech issues. The modem restarted right away, and after I logged back into my computer, it made me host again. Disaster averted. How many of you could feel the panic of that situation as I was sharing my experience? It's good to log into meetings as a participant or host from different devices, but also different platforms. Plus, have a backup strategy. When we get comfortable as facilitators, it's difficult to stay aware of other people's learning curves. However, understanding our participants' perspective can aid us in providing them direction when they are shifting to a new platform. I was logging into a training course on a new platform that I had never used before. A lot of skills were transferable from platform to platform, so I didn't do as much research or prep. I was a participant, and when I clicked the link to join, it didn't work the way I was expecting. I then entered through the browser instead of downloading the app. And when the facilitators were telling us to click the green checkmark, I didn't have that option. This was frustrating, and I was a bit embarrassed because I had not taken the time to follow up all the pre-course steps. But going through this experience reminded me of what my participants could be feeling. This was a good example of what I needed to do to support a positive start to a workshop or course for my participants. One time when I was tech support for an online keynote speaker, I had not been involved in the planning or producing of the event. The host opened up their meeting and no one was saying anything. Nothing was being typed in the chat. They were silently waiting for the hundreds of people to join the meeting before they began. The problem was that people started wondering if their speakers were not working. Questions started being asked in the chat if they should be hearing someone talk. This was not the best start. This demonstrated the value of frequently saying welcome out loud on the mic, adding music and typing messages in chat, and/or a message on the screen saying we'll begin shortly. It's important to keep people engaged as they wait. Having a warm-up activity ready also helps to build interest. With complete silence, people can walk away from their computer to fill up their cup of coffee and miss the start of the event. I just tried something the other day. Before I was meeting with a group of colleagues that meet regularly, I thought I was being clever. I created and shared a PowerPoint slide that said I was going to be right back, and then turned off the waiting room so that if someone arrived early, they could get into the room. However, I learned some things when trying this out, and I'll take you through my thought process. My reasoning was firstly that I didn't want to leave people in the waiting room if I was going to be 2 minutes late. I knew that if I typed a message in chat, they wouldn't see it when they arrived. But when I created the slide, one of those design suggestions had a video of a city scene that looked really cool. It didn't have anything to do with our meeting, But this was a pretty informal group. The slide said, "I'll be right back with my name." However, two people had two different experiences. One person arrived and I heard the bell notification and I turned on my camera because I had just arrived back at my desk. Another person arrived just before I got back and had left again. I found out when she arrived later and after she sent an email asking for the link that she had thought she interrupted one of my workshops. She thought that I was not hosting this morning and she had used the wrong link. There were a couple of reasons for this. She didn't arrive in the waiting room that would have had the title of the meeting on it. I needed to add that to the slide. I also would in the future make sure that the slide visual was related to the meeting topic. I tested something out and it was a good idea with good reasoning, but I now learned how to tweak it for a future context. I encourage you to try new things, get creative, stretch your facilitator comfort zone, and be okay if things don't go as expected. Speaking of stretching, funny story. The other day, I decided to wear my wired bra instead of the comfy one. I know that's a big deal. This was after I talked myself into having a shower, which meant I had to dry my hair, and then I even decided to put on mascara. Now, I was still wearing comfy pants. How many of you are comfy on the bottom and professional on the top? And that day, I wasn't really in front of the camera as a facilitator. I was behind the scenes as a producer. But whether I'm facilitating a workshop or supporting a keynote speaker, my presence is essential. I am either giving the confidence, calm, and energy to a speaker, or I'm giving the excitement to a group of participants. How I feel can reach through the camera, my tone of voice, if I'm looking directly into the camera, and my smile of genuine excitement can reach each person in their own home or office. This is my responsibility. It's more than the content I researched and prepared. It's more than my good lighting, the sound through my mic, and a camera that is crisp and clear. It's more than my internet strength for the video I am sharing to not buffer. However, all these things matter too. If any of those things go wrong, my energy can dip. If those things go wrong, it can cause frustration and I can start losing people. And that is when my presence must outshine any tech issues or the grumpy participant who is complaining in chat. My presence has to translate into the know and like factor. Then people are willing to listen and get excited about what they hear, and then do something with what they learned. It's a lot of responsibility. There are many factors that are still out of my control. If someone does not want to be there, that is not completely my problem. But my job is to draw in as many people through the learning experience design. Ultimately, how I am on camera and how I show up is up to me. I started very awkward on camera. I could talk to thousands of people in person with some nerves, but still comfortable. When I started creating videos, I was not as comfortable. I had to put myself out there anyway. In order to become the person I was meant to be, I had to experience this journey. Some of my colleagues stand when they are online facilitating, presenting or giving a talk, a keynote. Even though they're at home and in front of cameras, they put on their stage shoes and tell me this impacts how they feel and therefore their presence on camera. This may be different for everyone. My setup with lights, camera, mic, stream deck, and props, etc. means that I often sit when I facilitate or produce online. I may still be wearing comfy and stretchy pants, but my top is professional and I am comfortable. My energy and excitement when facilitating comes through the computer and people can feel it. When I started filming YouTube videos, I felt awkward and that came through the camera. However, that first feeling of being out of my comfort zone was okay because the more I got in front of the camera, the more comfortable I became. It was the only way to improve. I had to put myself out there. Hot bonus tip, and there are many in the book. The more you try, learn, and play with a new engagement tool or platform, the more you can get past the uncomfortable zone and get into the creative zone. You know, sometimes when people are forced to work on a new platform, there is resistance. I was producing for a fantastic facilitator, and they preferred to work on one platform that they were most comfortable in. The platform we were using provided additional tools for engagement. However, their client group was more familiar with a different platform. And unfortunately, when their host was providing some words of welcome at the beginning of the session, they began to complain about the platform. This was not a great start to the learning experience. Beginning with a negative tone does not set up everyone for learning success. Keep in mind that if a group is resistant to the change of a different learning platform, you may need to manage complaints and negative comments. In this case, setting up the chat to be only with the hosts and co-hosts at the beginning of the session may be helpful. It is important to resolve frustrations as quickly as possible and move forward in a positive tone. My promise is to try to keep my energy up in these situations. My promise is to try to draw in the person who tunes out and the person who is focusing on the problems with technology and to not forget about the people who have shown up ready to learn. My promise is to add layers of engagement and always remember that people like to learn in a variety of ways. It's my job to consider all of this when designing and facilitating the learning experience. My promise is to do the best to turn an audience into participants. What I want you to take away from this is that change is inevitable. We are all bound to occasionally have problems and hiccups with technology as it continually progresses. But it doesn't have to be the barrier that stops us. It doesn't have to be daunting or scary. My commitment to the experts that I work with is that the online shift gives you courage, calm, and a sense of ease. Get back to the connection you used to feel with your audiences and show up with the confidence that you can turn them into participants.